This is Doc Mike, host of Right on the Left Coast podcast. This is a podcast about homestead living at the Ravenwood Homestead here in Oregon. We share our experiences and discuss topics that may affect living the homestead lifestyle. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me here live on Rumble tonight. I appreciate you guys downloading the podcast whenever you can or visiting live. We have the chat open, and I think I figured out how to do it without distracting myself too much. We'll see. But first of all, I want to start off with something. I hope that you all have been able to see this. Let me make sure it's going to play. And because, you know, hard to test this. Oh, yeah, it is. So let's see here. We're going to transition the camera, and we'll wait and see how long it takes to get on the video here. But anyway, the Kilauea volcano has erupted, and they have like a live feed of the cauldron of this volcano. And it's pretty damned amazing. There it is. It just came up on my screen. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I did not shut Hal off of RLM because I'm not broadcasting on RLM tonight. I'm doing the video thing live, so I don't want to use up too much bandwidth because, you know, I have, you know, I don't have fiber coming into the house or high-speed internet. It's just I got what I got. That's what I got. Hey, but maybe I should turn Hal off. Okay, so let's do that. Let's do that. Then maybe people will wonder where they go to hear the show, and they'll hear it here. Let's see. Can I paste that again? Yeah. Hang on one sec. Okay, so here's the deal. The Kilauea volcano, I'm going to put it up on, oh, crap. Oh, my God. What did I do now? Oh, no, I'm good. No, that's not it. We need, what the hell did I do here? Okay. Don't panic for crying out loud. Boom. Play. All right, there we go. Back on it. Oh, wait, maybe I had something. Oh, I do. I'm such an idiot. I'm telling you, I'm really trying. I have too much fun doing this stuff. Nobody should have this much fun making an idiot out of themselves. Okay, so I'm going to show you this. So first of all, right now you have what I recorded early this morning. And the reason I did that, I wanted to see what this cauldron looked like at night. And of course, Hawaii is 3 hours west of me. So, you know, when I went to bed last night, it wasn't dark in Hawaii yet. But when I get up in the morning, I get up pretty early. Yeah, it's dark. So there you go. That's what it looks like at night. And then let's take a look at what it looks like during the day. And, but I have to do something really weird. I'm really trying to get the imaging on video to look good. So this looks pretty good. I'm going to send this over. And this is what it looks like during the day. Now, you'll notice the camera changes angles. This is kind of like the bear cam. Right. Nothing's playing on the RLM player. That's right, because I'm not broadcasting up there. I just cut Hal off. It's a recording of Hal, of course. You can catch him tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time, 2 hours of full-on information. The guy doesn't take a break. He's full of ideas. I am live on Rumble. I mean, I see myself on Rumble, so I don't know if you haven't, if you're not seeing me on Rumble, I don't know what's wrong. I guess you'll have to keep trying, but, oh my goodness. Man, I have so much stuff to cover today, too. Just kind of easy stuff. I just want to kind of make it easy. But I don't know, man. There's an awful lot of stuff going on. I'm going to get off of this page, I can tell you that. Too much video going on or whatever. And I'm going to go back here. I want to show you guys. I really wanted to share with you. I think you're going to like this. I wanted to share with you, like, the environment that we live in here. Now, you can see, I do drone footage. I take you on walks around the, now what? There you go. I take you on walks around the property here. Let me switch back a minute. Because I want this. Oh, no, I know. Hang on. I'm getting there. Honestly, I am, really. Boom. Just trying stuff out live. I don't know. Is there something wrong with that? There we go. All right. So, I want to get rid of this. Hang on, people. All right, that's gone. That's my playlist. Okay, now you're going to see. Now, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of the area that we live in and why Rochelle and I love sitting outside. What the hell is going on? Oh, I know. It'll change. See, here's the thing about watching the live feed is it's so far behind. Yeah. Let's do this. I want you on that page. Yeah, that's where I want it. So let's see. Okay, now it should be better. Yeah, doing things live, man, the video is so far behind that it's very distracting to look at, but I kind of want to see the chat room and see what's going on there. And I can't watch like all the chat rooms. That's another problem. Oh God, is this going to work? It will work. Yeah, I'm live on Rumble. Why do I see myself on Rumble and you guys don't? Let's see, is everybody using this link? It's a jungle up here. It's okay, this whole thing's getting recorded, as stupid as it may be. It's gonna get... Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know why it's not... Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I don't know what's going on. One thing I know I got to do is cut off this video. And where was the other one? Alt. That one's okay. I can leave that going. Okay, so this is what I'm doing, basically. I'm going through these pages one at a time. I don't know why it keeps going to that page. It's so stupid. Okay. Because I always talk about the birds we have up here, and I was thinking, I'm going to show you, like, the birds that we have. Now, I didn't go out and take a picture of every single one, but I Googled the images, and I want to take you through these one by one. This is, the first one is kind of one of the most beautiful ones we have. Wow, 9% frame drops. It's okay, you guys. We'll get through it. Look, if this sucks, I'll quit doing live video. We'll just go back to the podcast, and I'll put the videos up later. But I'm going to finish this because I already started it. So listen, this is a tanager that you're seeing right here. Should have a bright red face, kind of the yellow body and the black back and wings with some white on it. We wait for this bird every year, and it has to be kind of warm before this bird shows up. But when it shows up, then it's like, it's a real treat, you know, and sometimes we're in the tub when it shows up. And it's out in the trees or whatever, but it's been around here for about a month now, and it's just one of the most beautiful birds. You know, it kind of looks like a goldfinch with a red face. In fact, some people can mistake it for that. This is a towhee, and the way you can tell a towhee are these red eyes. I mean, obviously, you know, you can kind of see the color, and you know, it's got this white on its belly and then red on its sides, black back and wings and tail with the little white specks on it. But that red eye is a dead giveaway. When you see the red eyes, you know it's a towhee. The next one. Yeah. And the next, this is a goldfinch. We have a bunch of these showing up. We actually feed these guys with some thistle, you know, sacks around because they love thistle. And there's all kinds of finches. This goldfinch is just one of the ones that I think is so striking. It's so beautiful. And sitting here on this yellow flower, man, it really just shows you how bright yellow this bird is. And I do have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I wanted to share all these pictures. We have these falcons. I think this is a peregrine falcon. There's one other falcon we have. I can't really think of the name. Bald eagles fly over occasionally. Osprey fly over occasionally. And I mean occasionally is like maybe weekly or every other week or something like that. Now this bird, I know you think I probably have the image in wrong. I don't. This is a tree trunk. And that is an acorn woodpecker. I think that's the acorn. No, that's the acorn woodpecker. This is a sapsucker. And this is kind of crazy. So these guys, they look like a woodpecker and they actually peck holes in wood. But they don't actually, so they peck holes in wood so that the wood will leak out some sap. And then they come back later and drink the sap. And I do have a tree here with a bajillion holes in it because they peck a hole at the same level all the way around the tree. And then they start above or below that and do the same thing. So it looks like somebody perfectly drilled holes in the tree all the way around it. And I mean, there's thousands of them. So you can think of hundreds of rings around this tree. Next up. That's the acorn. Now, those guys actually do peck holes in wood, and they'll bury seeds in there. This is a waxwing. They're so beautiful, and they have this little crop, so it looks like an oriole. I think in some places people, you know, see orioles with this crop on their head. This is a beautiful bird. This is probably one of the most rare visitors, like when they migrate. They come in. They'll come in probably... I mean, we saw them last week briefly, and they might be here, but they're not really visiting our property so much right now. Usually they come in and are here for a few weeks, and you see them every single day, and then they're gone. So I don't know what the deal is this year. I'm sure it's global warming or something. This is a grosbeak, and this is kind of one of the normal, I call them a normal grosbeak. You can kind of tell by this fat beak that they have. And they have kind of beautiful, just beautiful colors and lots of different spots. But the next one, this is one of my favorites. This is called an evening grosbeak. Looks like it's wearing kind of a tuxedo, right? So it's got this striking white and black opposing. And then, you know, colors on its head. It has a little black top on its head, this yellow bit here, and kind of a yellowish orange on the rest of its body. They are just gorgeous birds. This is a warbler. And the thing I like about them is, number one, they build nests in our bird boxes that we set up specifically for birds to come and breed and raise their young and then move on. And these guys sing like crazy, man. So they're always out there, you know, before they get a mate. They're just singing away. Beautiful. They're tiny, though. They're bigger than a hummingbird, but not much bigger. And then, of course, I just thought of another one. Let me think. Let me look here. I want to find one more for you. Western bluebird. Come on, baby. Yeah, these guys come and visit. Oh, yeah, that is a beautiful example. So that's a western bluebird, and also very pretty. Now, they come in and nest in the boxes, too. And usually, so I know this is going to sound mean. I hope it, I don't care if you think it is or not. But so the warblers use a smaller nest box. We have actually nest boxes set out for western bluebirds. Where did I put that one back here? Yeah. We actually have some nest boxes for these guys, but early in the year, the swallows use them. So when the western bluebirds show up, we go and evict the swallows because the swallows are a pain in the butt, and there's plenty of swallows. And really, it's usually after they have raised their young. So basically, we're just cleaning out the nest box. Like, we've never kicked some young swallows out, you know, ever. Like, we've never even seen any baby swallows when we clean out the nest box. So we just give the box a little bit of a cleaning so that the western bluebirds can move in. These are just beautiful animals, beautiful birds, and we love having them. And then, of course, we have these stellar jays, and of course, we have scrub jays. And I'm sure there's a bunch that I'm not talking about. Like, we have rough-legged hawks and, you know, just different birds of prey. But that's pretty much most of what we have here. That tanager, beautiful, towhee, that's a goldfinch, the peregrine falcon. You know, the crazy thing is, so when we're sitting outside, if there is, you know, if there are birds all around and they're singing and chirping and they're just busy doing whatever birds do, and then all of a sudden it gets real quiet, we go, okay, falcon must be around. And sure enough, if you look around, you know, kind of get in the spot where you can see the whole sky and the trees around, you can spot this falcon. And, you know, unless he's already taken a bird and he's flying off. But, yeah, they'll knock a bird right out of the sky. They like doing they like taking pigeons out of the air, man. They are good pigeon hunters. And, of course, bald eagle again, osprey, the sapsucker. I just love the reds on this sapsucker and this acorn woodpecker. And then, of course, the waxwing, the grosbeak, evening grosbeak, warbler, stellar jay, scrub jay, and that's it. So that's my little video tour for the week. Let's see. I'm going to start closing these, you know, just because. But, man, I just wanted to share with you. So, you know, when we sit outside, you know, we're just like hanging out, enjoying the scenery, and I want you to be there. You know, just because, you know, it's a beautiful, we've created this environment here that we're very happy with. I would say that we're proud of it, but I don't really think it's a pride thing. It's just like so enjoyable to have created this environment that animals will come to. As a matter of fact, I have a little story about animals coming to the property. You know, we've done a lot to secure our garden because I think it's important. I just wanted to say, like, we've tried to secure the garden because I think it's going to be important that we have access to food. And, you know, I know not everybody feels that way. And I know I've been in this position before. I think 20 or 30 years ago, I was, you know, just panicked, not panicked. I was very concerned that the economy was going to collapse. And, hell, it should have collapsed before now. But, you know, somehow we keep, like, keeping it on life support. But here's what I was thinking today. You know, because we have some food, I really don't give a flip if the economy collapses or not. Yeah, we're going to suffer. Everybody's going to suffer. But the suffering will be less if we have some food growing here on the property, if we have some access to meat here on the property, if we can produce our own, you know, food to keep everything alive and well on this property, it'll be okay. You know, and maybe we can help some others out. Maybe we can't. You know, right now we can, or we are, but, you know, can't guarantee it. I'm going to close down this also because we don't need it. And I'm not going to close that down because I kind of need it. Anyway, let me go to my notes. I just wanted to give you guys that little tour there, because I just thought it was so cool, you know, that we have this, you know, and kind of along with the birds, we have a pretty good population of snakes here also, which I know a lot of people aren't crazy about snakes, but I'm kind of crazy about snakes because they take care of rodents. So they kill gophers, they kill rats, they kill mice, you know, they eat all those little rodents that destroy your crops, that screw up everything. Rats especially get into your feed, mice get into your feed, you know, unless you have it secured pretty good, which I think all of our feed is really secured pretty well. But I don't even like I keep an eye out for snakes on the road because I don't want any snakes getting run over. I don't want to run over any snakes because they kill stuff. They kill, you know, stuff that I don't like. So, the other day, Scott was over here, it's our son, and he pulled up a gopher snake that was sitting out by the greenhouse, between the greenhouse and the house. And this was a pretty damn healthy gopher snake, like 5 feet. So Scott's like 6+ feet tall. It's like 6.5 feet tall. And he had the head in his hand, and he had the tail with his other hand kind of right against his chest, and the tail actually still drooped down another foot. So you figure a guy 6 feet tall, you know, he's easily got a 36 inch arm. So there's 3 feet and then a foot for his chest and a foot hanging down. It was probably a 5 foot gopher snake, and that's awesome. So I know that snake is healthy. I know that snake's been around a long time. We have a bunch of gardeners. There's another gopher snake I know that's down at the edge of the garden. I see him every day sitting out there sunning himself. He's a lot smaller, like a 3-footer, and not very big in diameter, but he's there and healthy. You know, and I just love that these animals are healthy and that they're doing well, and we have an environment, you know, which is kind of sad because I'm saying we have an environment that supports snakes. Well, that means we have rats and mice, and, well, I don't know about rats. We try and keep the rats out of here. Like, we do stuff to make sure that they die, and, you know, as soon as we see them, because they're just big and nasty. I mean, they're probably not. They're probably great little critters, but we just don't want them on our property. And we had neighbors before that were kind of gross, and they created an environment that promoted rat, you know, presence. And that was tough to deal with because, you know, it's a short trip. It's 5 acres, but rats don't care. They'll come over here and, you know, make a mess also. Okay, so what else? Oh, yeah, I'm going to my notes now. Okay, so here we are. You guys, I was going to tell you this. So the title of this show tonight is It's the Jungle Up Here. And I'm not kidding. I'm going to get some drone footage probably tomorrow. And the drone footage that you saw, well, or you will see when you watch this, you'll notice how much stuff has grown just in the last, that was probably done 2-3 weeks ago, that drone footage. And now I'm not kidding, it's just a jungle. I was looking at the apple tree from 2 years ago that produce so many apples, and then last year it didn't produce any. It is fully loaded this year. Like, it's crazy how many apples there are on that tree. The thing is, in the springtime, when everything starts growing, the trees are like, hey, we got to put up some more branches here. We got to grow higher. We got to grow wider. We got to produce this fruit. We have all this work to do. And you have to catch that stuff because, you know, these shoots that are coming, that are growing straight up from the apple tree is taken away from the development of the fruit. Now, I'm sure you can just let it go. I mean, look at the apple trees you see on properties that aren't maintained. You know, the deer love wild apple trees. You know, trees that are just out there left unkempt because, you know, they produce a ton of apples. The apples drop on the ground. The wildlife eat the apples and, you know, it just goes on. But if you want to increase your quality of fruit on your trees, then you got to prune, you know. And yeah, it kind of sucks because you're going to keep that tree to a certain size, but you're going to really put energy into growing the fruit on the tree and not the branches and the leaves and all that other stuff. So that apple tree, I can't even imagine how many apples, how many buckets of apples we're going to get from that tree. Because I know in the fourth year, this is its sixth year, and in the fourth year, I talked about on the show 2 years ago, I don't know how many five-gallon buckets we took off that tree, but it had to have been like 30 or 40 or 50 five-gallon buckets. And yeah, that thing's going to do awesome. The other thing is, I was looking, the pear trees, the fig trees, the cherry trees, they are all doing great. They are all loaded with fruit. So I'm glad about that because that's stuff that we can preserve and put away, eat when it's fresh, and eat, you know, later on when, you know, there's a lack of food, you know, for whatever reason, maybe just because it's wintertime. Well, we'll have cherries, we'll have apples or applesauce or, what else did I say? Pears or, any of the stuff that's growing out there. I did notice like that we have the same problems with our strawberries that many places in Oregon and places in California are having to harvest these strawberries. Like right now, they have a very small window to get these strawberries when they're ripe, and a lot of them are very small. So it's not like you have a ton of big juicy berries. You have a limited quantity of kind of small, mediocre berries, and you got to get them quick because they're not going to be on the vine very long, on the plant very long. So you have to, you know, you have to get after it. And it's really kind of sad because we love getting the strawberries every year. But I mean, here, that's the thing about having a diverse bunch of food on your property. Is that if something isn't doing well, other stuff is probably doing well. And that's what I was getting to about having critters on the property. So we kind of have made the garden as secure as we could. But, you know, the kids have opened up some other areas and made a garden outside of the secured fenced area. And, yeah, there were some deer up there having a smorgasbord this morning. So they've done a lot of damage to that little tiny garden. And we didn't see it. I mean, we can't kind of be everywhere on the property. So we didn't see it until it was too late. And then, you know, we got them out of there. But they'd already done some damage. So we're going to have to, if they really want that garden to be successful, they're going to have to secure it with some fencing or some, you know, trip wires or something. I'm kidding. Anyway. Yeah. This live video thing, I think maybe just won't work. And that's okay, man. I actually like doing the podcast anyway. So we probably won't do live video anymore. It's much better just to record it and put it up later and everything works out fine. But for today, this is how we're doing it. Maybe I should bring up, I bet that would just make life hell. Let's do this. I'm watching, it doesn't matter, you guys, I'm just going to do it, okay? Except for one thing, I got to get this going first. Give me a minute. What's the matter? Get out of there. Oh, you guys, file. Hope this isn't showing up. No. Show info. There we go. That'll work. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to start this. This is going to take a minute. Just hang with me here. And we are going to hook this up to some audio. Not there. Disconnect all. We're going to put that there and that there and that there and that there. All right. Wiring is done. Oh, good. We got a signal. Okay, here we go. We're going live on Real Liberty Media. Maybe. Let's try it. Oh, wait, I don't need to do that. I already stopped that. So we just need to connect here, right? Connecting. All right, we're on Real Liberty Media now. So let me just tell everybody in chat room. All right. By the way, as soon as I'm done here, I'm eating some grilled chicken. I can hardly wait. Oh, I love cooking on the weekend. I love getting that grill going. I love chicken. Of course, I love all the other horrible stuff, too. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of watch and see how much, actually, the video takes a hit on performance. But I'm not going to watch the video. I'm just watching like the computer and frame drops and all that stuff, and we'll see how that goes. But let's get on with the show, shall we? So anyway, yeah, I was talking about the deer eating that little garden, and we need to put some fencing up to secure that. I also wanted to talk a little bit. I did my computer maintenance today. I hope you guys all do the same. If you have computers or laptops or whatever, just take a little time out to strip them down and blow the dust out, vacuum, suction the dust out. Where we live on a gravel road. It's a mile from asphalt or hardtop road. So, we get a lot of dust and dirt and pollen and crap and dog hair and whatever else. And no matter how much you vacuum, we have one of those little, Roombas that roam the house vacuuming. You still get a plenty of dust in there. And, I got to turn this off. Yeah. You're going away. Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you, guys. Now I see the chat room. Okay. But it doesn't look like the performance on there is so great. That's okay. We're okay. And now it's on Real Liberty Media. Everybody should be able to hear me just fine. What was I saying? Computer maintenance. So, it's good to just like take them down and clean them up real good before you have a problem. I really hate having problems. And I'm not kidding. I was thinking today about how awesome this Linux system is. I'm finally gaming again on it. Everything's working there. And that was the reason I wasn't gaming on it is because not because of the system, but because the developers that create the game I like to play weren't providing support for Linux users. And now, luckily, the Linux users have figured out how to run Windows-based games on a Linux computer, using all their wizardry. They've figured it out, and it seems to be working fine. But the system just works so damn good. If I had a big pipe coming in here for internet, We'd be able to stream video, stream audio, stream to platforms, and it wouldn't be a problem. The big problem is I don't like any of the companies around here that provide high-speed internet. So I use the internet I use, and it seems to be working fine. And, you know, we'll be able to get by with what we have, just maybe not live video. So what? People can still chat in RLM. They can hear it on the podcast. They can hear it live on Real Liberty Media. And they can always check out the video later, which is going to be much better for me, I think, in the long run. So I don't worry about what I'm seeing on the screen and worrying about the frame drops. It's 14.5% frame drops. That's not good. That's a lot. That is a lot. So that's not a good thing. We're just going to let that go. Okay, I wanted to give you guys a little tiny bit of an update on my health. Man, my cardiac was great. I talked about that last week. I'm not really going to talk about that much more. My shoulder is unbelievably better, and I was really thinking I was going to be getting surgery on my shoulder, and who knows, maybe I still will. But I could barely, you know, like raise my arm straight away from my body, like as if you were going to form a cross. I could only get my left arm out to about 30 degrees. I mean, I could not get it up to 90 degrees. There was no way. It just hurt too bad. And honestly, I don't even know if it would have done it if I could go past that point of pain. But just two sessions of physical therapy, along with doing that physical therapy at home, I'm telling you, man, my shoulder almost doesn't hurt. I have a much greater range of motion. I understand why it hurt and why it was so debilitating. So I am going to close that window. Why would I have that window open? Oh, I know, because you guys are awesome. Cigarette resin can be total loss. Man, that's no kidding. Don't smoke around your computers. No kidding. Don't do it. Damn it. Oh, so my shoulder. Yeah. Anyway, things are fine there, but I'm really surprised that it is actually as good as it is, because I was seriously thinking I'm going to end up, just getting surgery on that shoulder. And, luckily I'm not. I'm not sure if I told you this one story last week. I think I did, but I'm going to repeat this one story just because it's so damn funny. But first, I want to tell you about the fish and duck dilemma we have here. So we added four ducks that are layers, you know, they're going to lay eggs. And they found the fountain, which is fine, except that fountain has two goldfish in it that we've had for like 13 years. Now, I'm not saying that I think Cowboy Tech will probably help him out. You can go to Real Liberty Media and download the MP3 stream, or you can pick it up on podcasts at Buzzsprout and some other sites, but depending on what I talk about, sometimes they don't put the podcast up. Usually the Homestead Show, this show, they're pretty good about. But anyway, so back to the ducks and the goldfish. So the ducks found the fountain, and they, even though we have a pool for them, their own little duck pond, still they came up and they found the fountain, and they were so excited because the fountain has a little bit of algae in it, and the fish are like, you know, fish have been in there for like 13, 14 years, something like that. But the algae and the plant growth, you know, along the edges, the ducks were going crazy for it because, you know, that's what ducks do. They kind of eat that stuff around the edges of, you know, lakes and rivers and whatever, and in, you know, some grain fields or whatever as they're flying along. So, but here's the problem. Like the fountain is only about 1.5 feet, maybe 2 feet deep. And it was really crowded. So the ducks were in there all just excited, you know, dunking their heads in and paddling their little feet. And well, after they left, and the next day when I saw the fish, they were like, oh my God, they look like somebody had put them in a, I don't know, like a food, not a food processor, but like a salad spinner, and just like, you know, beat the hell out of them for I don't know how long. And I was really thinking, I go, okay, that fish is going to die. There's only two. And one of them looked horribly beaten up. I mean, to the point where you're thinking, I probably should just kill that fish. But I was also thinking, well, it's only kind of superficial wounds. So maybe they will heal as long as it doesn't get out of some other disease or infection. But I don't know. It might not. But it's been 3 days now. It survived, and we've kept the ducks out of there. But, man, you know, it's kind of funny. I didn't even think about it. I just thought, oh, there are two goldfish in there, but they should stay out of the way. But these ducks just must have been so, like, excited and, you know, just, like, tearing up the water that, they just pounded those fish to pieces. So, that's something we're going to have to figure out and deal with. The other thing is, so I think last week I told you we got this one turkey. I got to get a drink because I can tell my throat's going. So many pollens in the air around here. And dust and dry. We didn't get any of the rain that Portland got. Portland got a bunch of rain. Not a bunch. They got a little bit of rain yesterday. And we were really hoping that it would drift on down here and give us just a little bit of a wetting down, but it didn't. So we're still in a dry column for about, I don't know, 4 weeks, something. It's been too long. Whatever it's been too long. Well, anyway, so there's we have this one turkey, and when Rochelle goes down in her little utility vehicle, that turkey gets in the seat next to her, and it just will ride around with her. And when she starts going, it just sits down in the seat. It's the funniest thing. I got to get video of it somehow, but I haven't yet. So, and there's something else. I have some pictures. I know I probably said this a bajillion times. Well, I've said it enough that I should actually do it, because I keep saying it and not doing it. But the pictures I have of this one mullein plant that survived the entire winter and is now flowering, and it has like 25 spires on it. And if you guys who don't know mullein, I'm going to put pictures up somewhere, sometime. They're on my phone. And here's the thing. When I take pictures with my phone, I really hate taking the pictures off. I don't know why, but I'm just lazy about it. So I have to do that. I got to get the pictures on the computer and then upload them to probably Imgur, or I can just show them here or something. I don't know. But it's kind of cool to see that. And I'm not kidding. The medicinal part of this property, the gardens we have that are medicinal, are crazy. I have so much mullein this year, it's insane. And they are big, healthy, happy plants. So we have to get some seal meal and, you know, do some drying and saving some of this too, making some tea and getting that out. I got to tell you guys this one funny story, and I did take a picture of this too. I also want to post this because this is actually pretty damn funny. So the coffee shop in town, you know, I go there pretty much every day, and their parking lot is hell. It's like somebody bombed the parking lot. There's so many big craters in there, and I'm sure people bitch and complain about it, but here's the deal with the coffee shop. They don't own that property. They just have their coffee shop on that property. And that happens a lot with some of these little shops. They just lease part of the property. And, you know, but it's the property owner who has to take care of the actual, you know, property maintenance. Well, So the property owner doesn't give a crap if there's big giant craters in the parking lot, and they don't care if the customers are happy or unhappy with driving through. It's horrible. I'm not kidding. Even in my big four-wheel drive Ford, it's kind of a rough go going through that parking lot. So the coffee shop owner actually bought some gravel. And I asked her the other day, because I'd done this once before, I go, who's going to spread your gravel? And she goes, I don't know. I had this person lined up, and, you know, I don't know if they're going to come and be able to do it or not. And I go, well, I'll do it. And she said, would you really? I go, yeah, of course. I said, I'll come down and do it. So I was down there yesterday, Friday, and spreading the gravel and making it nice and even. And I was thinking, oh, this is so nice, because tomorrow when I come to this coffee shop, it's going to be so smooth. Well, anyway, while I'm doing the gravel, I get a call from one of my staff members that they had a dental emergency, and could I meet him at the office? And I started laughing, man, because I am in my bib overalls and, you know, a ratty t-shirt and just a pullover, because it was a little cool yesterday and I knew I was going to be working outside. And I was like, this is so awesome. The redneck dentist is on a tractor in town, and I'm going to actually go to the office and provide some emergency dental care. This is going to be awesome. So I took a picture of my tractor in the parking lot right in front of the building with the patient's car next to it. And I'm going to post that up. But I just thought it was funny as hell that I actually had to go into the office like that. I didn't have to. But, you know, tractors don't go fast, and it's about a 2 mile climb up the hill to my house. And on a tractor, that means you're not going real fast because you're on a tractor, and you're not going real fast because you're going uphill on a tractor. So it really does kind of suck, like in a lot of different ways. So I went over to the office, I provided that emergency care, and I went back and finished the parking lot, and then I went home. But I just thought it was funny as hell that, you know, redneck dentist was actually being a redneck dentist on Friday, and I have proof. I know, it doesn't count unless you have video. All right, what's next? Oh yeah, hurricane season is on. So hurricane season and fire season, you know how that goes. It's all kind of one big blur out there. Canada's had a lot of trouble with, you know, fires. It's not really unusual. I've heard people say this is actually something that happens almost every single year, that there's a certain time period between when the ice melts in that certain area where these fires started, some of them, and so from the time the snow and ice melts to the time that the actual new growth starts happening with moisture and rain and whatever, there's this time period where these grasses and fields, areas, just dry out, and they're prone to burning. Now, I have heard that people kind of coordinated an attack on these fields, started fires on purpose, and I think they even had arrested some people. I can't be sure about that. Really, I'm talking out of turn because I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's really not unusual. The only unusual thing is that smoke carried into the northeast of the United States, and it really put the kind of shadow on some of these big cities and made those, you know, some of those people were really suffering with the air quality conditions. But it's not that unusual. It's just that happens to be the way the winds were blowing and carrying smoke this year. That's what happened. You know, it really isn't that much of a, it's not rare that these areas burn. And it wasn't because of, like in Oregon and Washington and in the United States, where we absolutely don't manage our forests very well. So when we have forest fires, they're out of control. you know, fuel on the ground for decades because we don't clean it up because of some stupid environmental rules that don't allow you to clean up after you, you know, cut down forests and stuff. So we have these huge out of control fires. That's, I've heard that's not the case in Canada, that they actually do manage those things very well. So fire season and hurricane season are both kind of, you know, it's that time of year. And it was kind of funny. Every year I make fun of the Weather Channel. You know, those people are just entertainers. You know, they do a fair job of, this is what I think they do. I think they do a really good job of warning people about potential disasters, and they really kind of give people a little bit of a warning when there's tornadoes headed directly for their community, or there's a tornado watch or tornado warning or tornado whatever, possibility of like giant baseball sized hail and stuff like that. As far as like predicting any, you know, like long-term, you know, hurricanes or whatever, every year I would make fun of them because I can tell you last year, I remember them saying, well, you know, the Hurricane Center, God knows what freaking government agency and non-government agencies get into this business, but they're like, well, we're expecting 11 hurricanes that are going to be, you know, class 4 or above, you know, 11, you know, horrible hurricanes. And there wasn't, you know, there was far, and every year I make fun of them. I'm like, oh yeah, they're fear mongering. You know, they want to get everybody terrified about how much destruction is going to happen. And really it's not, there's not going to be that much destruction. It's just going to be, you know, whatever whatever the environment is going to create this year, that's what it's going to be. Well, this year I noticed they said, this is how they put it, we expect 17 named storms and 5 hurricanes. Now, how they can say that when they can't even get tomorrow's forecast right, I really can't. So I put no value in what they say at all. None. And I think it's just a joke. I mean, when you look at the advertisers for the Weather Channel, you know that they have to play this part of, you know, climate fear mongering. So that's who pays their bills. Is they're like, you got to get out there and make this as terrifying as possible, and you know, just keep pumping the fear, you know, keep pumping the hype to keep people terrified. And I was thinking about this, like, you know, we have this huge, problem with our young people where, you know, there's like the suicide rate is up, depression and stress, and people, like, I guess people don't understand it, but think about this. For decades now, we have basically told our children, you have nothing to look forward to. There's not going to be a planet left. There's not going to be any water. There's not going to be any trees. There's not going to be any ocean. You know, all the whales will be dead. All the fish will be dead. All the animals will be dead because man doesn't manage any of those things very well, which is a complete lie. But if you've grown up just thinking that there's nothing going to be left for you, man, don't you think you would be a little bit depressed? Don't you think you'd be a little bit stressed out? Don't you think you'd have very little motivation to actually do anything in this world of value, of, you know, any kind of like productivity, like to better anything in the world, when, you know, you have people like Ocasio-Cortez saying, you know, the world is going to end in 5 years, which, by the way, I think she's got like 30 days, you know, and then that little gig is going to be up. It's funny. So I've done pretty much this whole show with this evening, Grosspeak on the screen. That's funny. But yeah, so kids are depressed, man, and they don't want to go out and do anything. If you talk to some of them about their future, they don't have any future plans. They're just waiting for the damn world to end. They're just waiting for the climate crisis to kill everybody. And of course, you have, people on the other side who are literally trying to kill everybody. They're all taking away all the fossil fuels so that you can't heat your home. You can't cool yourself off in summer. I can't wait till we start. It sounds horrible. We are going to see people die because of, when we actually do have heat waves, not the heat waves that, thanks, Vinny. Not the heat waves that, they've already talked about when it was 90 degrees for 2 days and are hyping a heat wave here in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm thinking to myself, man, shut the hell up. I don't even like 90 degrees. And it wasn't a heat wave to me. So if it's not a heat wave to me and I don't even like summertime, I don't even like 90 degrees. I like it, below 90. Love it. I really prefer winter over anything else. I love the storms in the fall. I love the rains in the spring. When it starts getting summertime, it's my least favorite time of the year, except for all those beautiful birds I showed you and the time to grow and produce food and all the greenery and all the life that comes back. That part is awesome. I'm not crazy about the weather, but 90 degrees for 2 days is not a heat wave. But you watch. So this year and all the years after this year, because we've shut down a lot of fossil fuel and a lot of hydroelectric dams, we're trying to get rid of all of those. We're trying to get rid of all the fossil fuel power plants. People are going to die. They're going to die in the winter. They're going to freeze to death. They're going to die in the summer from, heat stroke. Because it's not that they won't have air conditioners. It's that they won't have power for their air conditioners. So, yeah, there's a segment here on the earth that is trying to eliminate human beings from the face of the earth. And yeah, our kids are depressed. And I mean, the thing that we need to do is tell them, look, everything is going to be fine. But you have to think about things. You have to be able to critically challenge people when they tell you things like the world is going to end in 5 years or, in 10 years, everything is going to be gone. It's crap, man. And if you just knew a little history, you would know that. But so many people just haven't read history. Even going back to the Bible, there's stories in the Bible that you could read and understand. This is not new. Hell, this stuff has been going on forever in different societies, in different cultures, throughout the time that man has been civilized, at least. We know that, challenges have come and gone, and we've survived it, and we will survive it. And that it isn't even real. There is no climate change. There's no man-made climate change. There's nothing that we can't manage. Like the water that I say, every single year I see billions, trillions of gallons of water just passing on by, going back in the ocean, as it should. But there's plenty of water, just like there's plenty of food, there's plenty of greenery, there's plenty of air. There's, all of the things that, they're trying to terrify, and they are terrifying people and children about. And, basically causing stress and disease and death that they don't even need to, but they do because they don't care. Anyway, you guys remember, just catch Hal Anthony tomorrow behind the woodshed, 3 p.m. Eastern time, and you can catch me every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour. And sometime, I don't know what I'm going to do with the other show, Discerning Observer, but anyway, we got to go. I love you guys. I'll see you next time. Thank you. See you next time on Right on the Left Coast Podcast. Thank you for listening.